Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And all the week long we're having with us Rabbi Moshe Rothschild. And I forgot to tell you what Moshe means. What is that?
The word Moshe is actually, it's the Hebrew of Moses, but it means drawn from water, as
right.
The Bible says in the book of Exodus. That's what the name means. It's Moses. My English name is actually Mark.
Ah!
Which is,
how'd you get such a name?
It's funny. My parents were actually, they grew up very irreligious. They were not very connected to Judaism. When they got a little bit older, when they were in their late teens, 18, 19, 20, they came back to Judaism, came very close to it. So when I was born, they weren't that affiliated with Judaism, so they called me Mark. At my circumcision, when you're 8 days old, you know, we have a circumcision, the rabbi turned to my parents and said to them, yeah, that's not a very Jewish name, Mark. So they said, okay, so his Hebrew name is Moshe, so we'll call him that. So for 8 days, everyone called me Mark, but after my brit, my circumcision, I became Moshe.
I understand, Rabbi, that you don't name babies right when they're born,
that's
that you
right.
do wait. And explain how that operates.
Well, when a baby is born, we do not give them a name right away. We give them, for a girl, we name her on the day that we take out the Torah, which is on a Monday, a Thursday, or a Saturday, a Shabbat. That's when we read the Torah publicly in the synagogue. For a boy, we name him at the Brit Milah, at the circumcision. In fact, Jewish tradition, it's not biblically based, but the Jewish tradition teaches us that in this world, that the last remnant of true prophecy is in the naming of a child. That when you
really?
Name that child,
oh, yes, yes.
that you have the divine spirit, you have a moment of prophecy when you name that child. And so we take it very, very seriously. We don't want to name right away. We have to give a chance for
the Lord to reveal it to you.
Exactly.
And so then when this name comes,
it just comes.
It just comes.
Yeah, it just comes.
By an inward witness, it comes.
Yeah, and I can
you.
Tell you that, you know, of my own experience with my children, it's such a beautiful thing when you're just thinking, I can't think of anything. You're blank, and then suddenly you got it. And this this is the child. It's not his name and then who he is. His name is who he is. Or her name, the name that she has is her name. My daughter's name is Shira, which means a song. And to us, that's who she is. She was born on the seventh day of Passover, which is the day the Jews left Egypt. And they sang the song, as is mentioned in the book of Exodus. Az Yashir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael. The Jewish people sang with Moses a song in praise of God. So that seventh day of Passover is called the day of Shira, of song. So she was born that day, and we don't believe, like you, that there are any coincidences in this
no.
world. So we gave her the name Shira. That's her name. They all have stories, my children.
And then you name them that, and then you call them that.
And that's their name.
And that's what they're called. And that's why Jacob was not going to have, what was it Rachel wanted to name him? Son of my...
Benjamin is a Ben Oni, the son
yeah.
of my troubles. And then they called him Ben Yamin, which
the
is
son
the son
of my right,
right
hand. That's right. He
right
changed
hand.
That name
right.
To mean what you wanted.
Right. And the name Jacob was changed to Yisrael, Israel,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
we know in the Bible when he fights with the angel. And Yisrael means Kisarita im Elokim, that you have struggled with the divine, Vatuchal, and you've been successful.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me quoting Hebrew a lot. I know you speak Hebrew as well. If you, the Bible, the original, is in Hebrew, and it's
Ken.
So beautiful if you understand
oh, it's so beautiful.
The Hebrew.
I tell you, I'm just a student. That's all. But it's
We're
I think
all
most
students.
People are students of Hebrew. It's such a beautiful language because of the root system.
Yeah.
And in the root, in any word, you see the root of that word. And I have to have the English on one side. I can tell you. I just cannot read that biblical Hebrew without
right.
the English on the other side. But just being able to look over there and look at that word, of course I can recognize the words, you know, and see it in its depth of meaning. It is so amazing. I was reading the other day. I read from Art Scrolls a lot. Mm-hmm. And they pointed out in one of the Psalms that the word for joy and the word for the Mashiach are the same three letters.
Same letters, that's right.
They're just, it's like a, you know, they're just changed around in in their order.
That's right.
But they're connected. So there's joy with the coming of the Mashiach.
That's right. And, you know, prophecy only comes with joy. That's what we believe. It doesn't come through sadness or through melancholy. The prophets were on a high level of joy. And that's to receive God. You have to have joy. It has to be, it says if in the Psalms, if du et Hashem b'simcha, serve God b'simcha, with joy. So it has to be with joy.
And in the presence, how is that? In the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy.
Yeah.
And what is that, in Nahum? Or Nehemiah? I'm not sure. But...
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Fullness of joy in his presence. How could there be anything else, if you think about it?
Yeah, you know, it's... We also have an expression. It's not from the Bible, but from our Talmud. It says, Kishem shemivarchim al hatov, kach mivarchim al hara. That just as you bless God for everything that's good, you also have to bless God for everything that's bad. It's not because there is bad, but because what we perceive as bad is the hand of God. You know, everything in our life comes from God, from Hashem, as we say. And, you know, you stub your toe, we don't believe that that's an accident. We believe that that also has to be taken b'simcha, with joy. It's a very high level to live, but that's, you know, what we try to achieve.
To live on the level of joy.
Live on the level of joy, that even when something difficult happens, we're joyous. There's a very cute story told about a man named... I'll think of his name in a second, but there was someone who was really suffering, and he went to the rabbi and said, tell me, why is God doing this to me? And the rabbi says to him, you know, I haven't suffered. It's hard for me to answer that. Go ask this person. He's had the most miserable life. He's lost his children, God forbid, and his wife has passed away. He's racked with diseases. He has boils on his body. Go talk to him. He'll be able to give you an answer. So he goes to him and he says, you know, I've had these terrible things happen. Can you tell me, why does God do these terrible things to me? And the rabbi turns to him and he says, I don't know why they told you to ask me. Nothing bad ever happened to me. And that's, you know, if you can live life on that level. I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do. Believe me, when things happen,
risen
it's very
above
hard.
It,
yeah, it's very
joy.
Hard to live with
well,
joy.
Well, yesterday
all the time.
We were talking about... And you said that the Jewish community doesn't even kind of look at it like this. You'd look more on another way, but I believe that, and you'll have to go back to the archives yesterday to see I went all through this, but that the very coming home of the Jews right now is promised throughout the Bible.
Right.
It's promised from Moses on.
Yeah,
it's
we're with you on that. We
my goodness. And then... then we are to bless you in that. And it is written in Zechariah in the King James, which I'm sure is a very bad translation on this particular line. It says that God will hiss for them, the Jews, and they will come home. And one man who wrote a commentary raised in the best rabbinical schools said that it's more like he will pipe for them. Something will go off inside them and will call them to come up to Israel, to come up to Jerusalem. Now here you are. You're from New Jersey, is that
originally
right?
From New Jersey.
New Jersey, and you're married and you have children, right?
Yep.
And you're a rabbi, successful rabbi.
Yes.
How did that pipe go off in your heart?
Well, it didn't just go off. It was my parents, my wife's parents. That's our whole lives. It's we knew that this was something we had to do, but it's a very difficult thing. As a rabbi, because you're here, you're doing good things, you're teaching people, reaching out to people. So do we leave or do we stay? And it took a while, but when my oldest son turned 6, we realized we're at a crossroads and we have to go. We always wanted to go. You read the Bible, you have to go. God tells Abraham, you know, lech lecha, go. And that we believe are words that echo throughout history. It's just a matter of hearing them. So we believe when God said to Abraham, go to this land, that's for every
He
Jew.
Said it to you.
He says it to me, and he says it to my wife, and to every, we all hear it. But there are things you have to consider. When you have a congregation of hundreds of people that rely upon you, So it's you have to sort of balance between what I want and what's good for my family versus what's good for my, you know, my flock, my congregation.
So you left here, so you left your here. Flock. And what did you meet up with over there?
Well,
in the land.
You know something? When we first got there, I was just focused on getting my kids settled. But
where do you live?
We live in a town called Ephrat, which is around 10 or 15 minutes south of Jerusalem in the Judean hills. Beautiful town, about 9,000 people there.
Not too far from Bethlehem.
We're neighbors. We're neighbors. Uh-huh. You can see Bethlehem from us, although as Israelis, we're not allowed in there. Americans can go in, but we're not allowed in there because we have peace. yeah, we're just overlooking Bethlehem, the city, you know, where David was from. And, we have just found it to be the most amazing place. And I'll tell you, where we live, there's like 30, 40% Anglos from English-speaking countries that have moved. And you don't just...
Jews.
The rest are native-born Israelis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we relate more to the English speakers. But you don't just get up and go to Israel. You don't just say, hey, let's move to Israel. It's something you think about. And I often say there's two types of people I meet there. This is going to sound funny, but it's true. You meet the most... One category is you meet the most amazing people that are just... They gave up, you know, their lives here and went. The other is a bunch of weirdos, to be honest with you. Hate to put it that way. Because some people...
Now, are you talking about Jews?
Yes. Yeah, because some people...
Because I've seen some over there that think they're David or...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Some people just go and they're not balanced necessarily. Uh-huh. So, but... In my community, thank God, we have the first category, you know, because people, Israel has this way of just turning people into, you know, they become their own messianic characters. Mm-hmm. You know, there's even a syndrome called Jerusalem syndrome, but I don't want to be able to talk about that, but we meet the most amazing people that pick up and decide to go. Now, I'm not sure which category I fit in. I hope
it's the
good one.
Most
but,
of the people I've fought are,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, Ephrat is an awesome place. Mm-hmm. You know, and your listeners are all invited to my home.
Oh, thank you.
You can all have a personal invitation. Come
we'll
visit
all come
us.
Same
you can
day.
All come the same day. Yeah. My wife's not listening, so that's okay. We have found it to be an experience. My kids, my oldest son now is 9. Okay, let me explain something to you. He has finished studying in school the book of, I'll say it in Hebrew first, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. All 5 books of the Torah, he has studied it as a 9-year-old, and now they're starting the book of the prophets. Now, in an American Jewish school, at that age, he might have learned maybe 3 or 4, maybe half of the book of Genesis. But for my son, whose native language is Hebrew, he can study very good. How do you not want to go to a land like that? How can I not go if my kids are blossoming?
The Bible, yes,
to hear them talk the language of the Bible as their
native tongue.
Exactly.
It's the Bible. And this is Billy Graham. Our time has slipped away again. Yeah. It goes so quickly. And here with Rabbi Moshe. And we want to offer to you this week the Mountains of Israel, which will help you understand that the place that the world calls the West Bank is the place of Abraham and the patriarchs. And what God meant when he said he's going to bring them back to the mountains, he meant the part that the world calls the West Bank. So you'll have a better understanding. Just say you want the Mountains of Israel. Call 1-800-972-3447. It's yours for $8 plus shipping. And we're going to be back tomorrow with an amazing... I've been enjoying this so much. We'll see you when you come back tomorrow. Shalom and shalom. Shalom, this is Billy.